It's time to link up for Ismissin That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, how are you this morning?
Gongchi Fat Choi, Shen Ye Kwa Le, Man Yen Hua Yun. Happy Chinese New Year, Rosetta.
Oh, wonderful.
It's the year of the horse. And we're supposed to be independent, action people, you know, full of charisma. So look, with, you know, the Asian community in Auckland being our second biggest demographic, I thought it would be great to start with that because it's this time of the year.
Yes.
And one of the other interesting things is, in 2026, by the Chinese lunar calendar, means that the year of the horse is paired with fire, and that happens only every 60 years. So that's supposed to be traditionally linked with confidence and a time to put plans in action. So let's do it, eh?
Let's, I reckon. That's a good way to kick off the Chinese New Year. And speaking of plans in action, potentially plans being held up a little bit, I thought we could start by talking a little bit about Auckland housing intensification. I know there's been sort of murmurings that central government is making some changes. Has the council been left in the dark here?
Look, I won't say left in the dark because we have been having some discussions around what we're doing with regards to a regional deal. And that is, I must say, a bit of a confidential discussion that the Mayor and I and others are having with the government. But look, if we just back the truck up a bit, the government passed the legislation, remember, to allow us to withdraw from the three stories, three houses everywhere, and to withdraw Plan Change 78 so we could downzone and floodplains. We've done all that, right, and intensify up around CRL stations and along transport corridors. They had a six-week consultation. It finished in December. We've had over 10,000 submissions. Mm. So that's kind of where the situation is. We haven't had a breakdown yet on the submissions and what they say from a council law perspective. We'll do that, I think, within a couple of weeks max. Yes, you're right. There have been some whisperings around what the government may do by way of announcement, and I am not going to comment on those whispers from a media perspective until I actually know exactly what they're going to do, because every time you hear a whisper, it's slightly different version of what you heard the day before or the hour before.
Mm.
But you might hear something coming out today. I know that Minister Bishop is talking at a function with the Committee for Auckland at NZICC today. I will be there because that may be the time he actually says something. I'm not sure.
Mm, I mean, we're looking at potentially legislating over a plan change that's already underway. Does this happen very often, and is it going to set us back and cost us a lot of money?
Well, that's a very good question. And until I know what they're going to do, I'm not going to comment on that, because they may not, all right?
Mm.
I don't know. But you're quite right. There has been a process. We're in the middle of that process. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the government does.
Mm, it's just interesting, you know, changes coming out now after it's already underway. Even though we don't know what those changes are, it's sort of as though perhaps there was some sort of communication breakdown here that this wasn't, you know, raised earlier.
Well, I think they were raised earlier. I don't think it was a communication breakdown. It was a process that council followed as a result of government direction. Let's just wait and see what happens today, all right? I'm more than happy to comment after that. But we followed a process that was given to us by government.
Mm. Okay.
We've done that, and we're at a point in that process. And until I know what happens next, it would be inappropriate to comment. Yeah.
Mm. I want to talk a little bit about the easing of restrictions on Eden Park. I know we've had the announcement of a bunch of new events taking place, which is, you know, potentially quite exciting for the economy. What sort of impact is this going to have on residents who live around Eden Park?
Look, I think there's two things around the Eden Park changes that have been made. The first is we have the country's only Tier 1 stadium based in Auckland, and it's called Eden Park. It means it's the biggest, right? And it's a bit like having a hotel, but you can only fill it every now and again, not any old time. And I think the key is the rules prior to the changes that the government made were that Eden Park could only have up to 12 concerts a year, okay? And not only was it up to 12 concerts, but it's performed by no more than six different artists. So if those six artists or those, you know, six people have more than one night, you're potentially only having kind of six concerts. And that's changed. That's changed to 12 large concerts, 12 medium concerts, and the timing of that is a bit different. Now, you ask, and I think that's good. If you've got this asset, you need to be able to use it, right? But we also, I think it's, you've asked the point around the residents. I mean, the Eden Park have been very, they've worked very hard talking to residents. They have got what I'm told to be something like 97% support locally for hosting more events. I mean, this weekend, and you're not talking, you know, big, loud concerts going to, you know, 1, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. That's not what the rules allow. This weekend, for example, they're having Emma Memmer. Now, I don't know whether you know who Emma Memmer is, but she's one of the Wiggles, if you... know who the Wiggles are.
And I'm familiar with the Wiggles.
She's a yellow Wiggle, and she's the include one that sort of focuses on inclusivity. But they've got this, you know, that was regarded, you know, as a not a sort of a concert, but a they're going to fill Eden Park with little people who all get goodie bags and being entertained by Emma Memmer, and it's free. So it's actually about using the stadium for community and regional stuff. And look, you know, they bring in a concerts like this do a lot for our city from an economic perspective. They really do. I mean, we know because, and we're not just saying it, the University of Auckland did a report last year, and that they said that Eden Park delivered more than like $37 million in annual GDP benefits to Auckland. Now, that could triple as a result of these changes. And then you look at the transport options to Eden Park. It is really accessible. Now, we know that CRL will open later in the year, finally, but it will open this year, right? If you think about it, if you live in way out at Howick or Botany, the Eastern Busway, which is being done at the moment, you'll be able to get on that bus, go to Panmure, change, get on a train, and get off at Eden Park, get off at Kingsland. If you're on the North Shore, catch an NX 1, 2 or 3, you'll bus into Waitemata, you know, the old Britomart station, get on a train, and get off at Kingsland. So the CRL will enable more people to get to Eden Park easily too. So it's accessible, it's our biggest stadium in the country, it will be able to utilise itself to hold more events and concerts, which will contribute to our GDP and make Auckland really exciting and you know, we're using an asset that's there.
Yeah, I guess from what I've seen across the political spectrum, for the most part, people are quite keen on more events at Eden Park, but perhaps there's a little bit of scuffling around how we're going to, you know, sustainably fund these events to keep going. Mayor Wayne Brown has said that he's really keen on a bed tax, but so far the central government has sort of ruled this out. Is there discussion of this at all being a possibility moving forward?
Well, first of all, it's not a tax. It's a bed night levy. So it'll be something that will be on the accommodation sector. That's the plan. That's what we would like. Just like many, many, many cities do around the world. And I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of the bed night levy to fund events like this. Absolutely. Because we know that when we have these big concerts and events, we get visitors to our city, both international and from other parts of the world. I mean, if I just look at the State of Origin, which is one that they, Eden Park, announced on Monday. I mean, this has been an Australian event. You know, it's never been outside of Australia for 40 years, I don't think. And they know that the hosting of this event is expected to attract, 10,000 international visitors from Australia. Now, if you start putting, 2.5% for or something for what of a figure on your bill, and that money is able to be collected and spent on other, to self-generate for other events, it will be huge for our city. So We've got NZICC as well, which, you know, brings in international people. Again, if the bed night levy is applied to the accommodation sector for that, it makes a huge difference.
Why do you think the government has rolled it out until now?
My understanding, it was something to do with a coalition agreement, but I don't know that that will happen, you know, next term. I'm not sure. We're hearing that the government is making far more positive signs towards looking at this next term than they've ever had. So that's quite positive, I think.
Okay, I guess we'll just have to wait and see whether it becomes more of a topic of discussion heading into the election year. Thank you very much, Desley, for making the time for a kōrero this morning.
No worries. Ka kite anō. Have a great week.
Ka kite.
Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.